Cheryl Osimo is executive director of the Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition, and she's here to talk about their virtual fundraising event that takes place October 24th and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Give us some background about the Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition.
Well, the Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition was founded in 1991 by a group of lesbians who felt that we really needed to find that piece of the puzzle that was missing because no one really was focusing on breast cancer prevention. And so the Mass Breast Cancer Coalition is dedicated to preventing environmental causes of breast cancer through community education, research advocacy, and changes to public policy. And so we're very proud to be partnering still today with many of the founders of this organization and many, many new friends like yourself.
How did you become involved?
I became involved after my diagnosis of breast cancer in 1991. I was invited to a meeting that was being held on Cape Cod where I live, and I went. And after that meeting, I can tell you that my life was changed forever. I met my forever friends and my extended family who took me under their wing. I was a frightened mom going through a divorce and very ill, given a poor prognosis. They invited me to join their board of directors, and it is there that I was educated about activism and how to get the job done when you realize that things need to change. And this group of women just really have been instrumental in moving towards changing the world for future generations with their activism on many fronts.
Tell us about your virtual fundraising event that takes place on October 24th.
We're very excited. Sad that we won't see people in person. That's, of course, difficult. But we are having our 23rd annual Lesbians and Friends LGBTQ Plus Dance this year, again, virtual. People can participate locally and nationally. It's on Saturday, October 24th from 7 to 9. We have a really, I think, great event schedule. We're going to have music with DJ Shelley Cohen throughout the evening. Liz Nania out to dance with dance lessons. Karen Williams, the comedian of Ha Ha Institute performance. And we will be presenting a special environmental activist award to actress comedian Lily Tomlin. Lily has done a lot of work on the environment as an activist. And I believe that she will go down in history as one of the greatest activists, if not the greatest activist of all time. She truly is helping us to make the world a better place for all who live on this earth. And I know that our board of directors, our committee, our supporters are all very, very pleased that she will be joining us on October 24th.
What do you hope to accomplish with this event?
You know, it's a fundraiser. We've been doing this event. This is our 23rd year. It's an important fundraiser. And given the fact that, you know, we will not be able to hold any of our events this year in person. We just hope that people will continue to support prevention of cancer. It's important. We're the only ones nationally or locally that do this work in the way that we do it. And it helps us to keep our Let's Talk Prevention Actions You Can Take program going. You know, we're real excited to share newly curated materials paired with easy-to-follow guidelines for students, parents, caregivers, and educators to utilize both in and out of the classroom. We had very excellent modules that were simply created a few years ago just for in the classroom, and we worked tirelessly to make them applicable for parents and students to use at home. And really, these modules are for elementary school, junior high school, some of the topics are reducing household toxic exposures. There's a coloring activity for elementary school, cell phone and wireless exposure, drinking water and PFAS contamination, and we're working on bills to get the chemicals out of food packaging. So we need to keep our activist work going, and we need to continue to educate our youth.
With COVID-19, how are you dealing with the new normal with your work and social distancing and masks?
I think the hardest thing is not being able to get together with people is difficult, and I think it's especially difficult for the younger people to socialize and to get together. And I think that, you know, we have to do what we have to do to stay safe, and it's important that we all do that. At MBCC, you know, we're holding an event against the tide, and Many, many people have come out to participate in that event, and I'm just hoping that many people will come out to our virtual dance to enjoy one another via Zoom and to help us to raise funds with the online auction. And always appreciative to you, Charlotte, for your incredible support as a sponsor with the many ways you help us to spread the word toward prevention. We couldn't do this work without you and our many dedicated sponsors, and especially with COVID-19, it's just a difficult time, as you know.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have, especially dealing with COVID-19 and virtual schooling?
I will tell you that I am deeply concerned about this. As you know, and I've shared this with you before, Charlotte, I have always said that I believe that it was the moral and ethical obligation of teachers and administrators to pay attention to what's going on and to make sure that students that were having trouble with socializing and with the bullying that takes place, to really be paying attention to that. What I'm concerned about now with COVID-19 and virtual schooling is the isolation they might feel, and how are they communicating? How are they able to communicate their feelings, and what might be happening with social media? What might be happening with Facebook and Instagram? I don't know. But it is deeply concerning, and I would only hope that teachers, administrators, and guidance counselors would be paying attention to this and making sure that all students, that they have support. And that is my main concern.
How can people get information about the Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition and for your virtual fundraising event on October 24th?
First of all, people can just go to mbcc.org, and you can go to the dance, and we have an adult sliding scale for $15, $30, or $45, and students for $10. So if you visit MBCC to view the auction and purchase tickets, we just hope that everybody will come out and join us again from 7:15 to 7:45. Learn to dance the cha-cha, the rumba, the salsa, merengue, and you don't have to have a partner. It's okay. Let's just have a good time. Let's just come together, support one another, and let's try to bring in some young people to include them and to work with them, and let's really embrace our special guest, Karen Williams, comedian, and special guest, Lily Tomlin, environmental activist and actress and comedian, and let's really make this a special event toward our goal of breast cancer and cancer prevention.
What other projects are you working on?
At this time, aside from our Let's Talk Prevention work with elementary, junior high, and high schools, and working on our bill to do all we can to change things so we don't have flame retardants in food packaging, we have had to put a hold on our tour, sending our Let's Talk Prevention materials in 8 different languages to libraries throughout the state, although I hope, because libraries are opening up, that we will soon be able to do that again. But in addition to that, Mass Breast Cancer Coalition is presently involved in 3 national health projects. The first project is funded by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. It's called STEEP, Sources, Transport, Exposure, and Effects of PFOSes. It's a Superfund research program, and the project is led by University of Rhode Island and includes researchers from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and Silent Spring Institute. And Mass Breast Cancer Coalition is doing the community outreach for that particular project. And they're doing well water testing, private well water testing on Cape Cod for PFOS. Why Cape Cod? Well, because we have high elevated rates of PFOS in our water. And we know that that is coming probably from firefighting foams, wastewater, and other pollution sources, and health effects from PFOS exposure. The second project, also funded by NIEHS, is Research, Education, and Action for Community Health. This is led by Silent Spring, along with researchers from Northeastern University, Michigan State University, and community partners from Testing for Peace and Toxics Action Center, and Mass Breast Cancer Coalition helping with the community outreach is investigating PFOS exposures and their impacts on children's health in Hyannis, because, again, we have the highest elevated rates in Hyannis specifically, and at Peace Trade Port in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I was in the process of recruiting children just before COVID, and we're now trying to find creative ways to recruit, to take blood testing of these children. We really need to do this to see if their immune systems have been compromised and to perhaps get them so that they can go out and get their immunizations again. I'm not sure what. I'm not a doctor, but we need to know what's going on with that. And the third and last national project is part of a larger multi-state study funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry on PFAS health effects. And Silent Spring is leading in the study in Massachusetts, which will also, again, because the Hyannis has the highest elevated rate of PFAS, and the town of Ayr also very high, we've come together as a team, and we will be actually opening a clinic soon, hopefully by November 1st, and the team includes, again, Harvard School of Public Health, Eastern Research Group, along with the community group, People of Ayr, concerned about the environment, and we're going to assess PFAS exposure and a range of health effects, including immune system, kidney function, thyroid disease, liver disease, glycemic parameters, diabetes, and neurobehavioral outcomes. And we're going to be studying the blood of 1,000 adults and young people in that study. That component of the work that we'll be doing with CDC and ADSDR will be about a year to a year and a half, and then we'll be doing other work beyond that. But presently, that's what we'll be doing very, very soon. So we've got a lot of work to do. We need to keep MBCC afloat. We can't lose our momentum. There are so many, many challenging, serious, sad situations with people who need money. And when people come to me and say, Cheryl, I don't have the money, or Cheryl, I can't help this year, the only thing I can say is do the best you can to take care of yourself. Do the best you can to do what you think is right. And for people to not feel pressure to do anything they can't do. But if you can help, we certainly could use your help. And I just want to send everybody best wishes and hoping that your family and loved ones are doing well. And thank you, Charlotte, always for your support and your caring and your humanitarian ways of supporting all organizations who are doing what they can to make a difference in this world.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I feel that it is true what Margaret Mead said, that never doubt that a small group of citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever could. And, you know, all of us can make a difference. We need to change the world. There's no question about that on so many, many different levels. And I hope that people will get out there and vote. This is most important. We must do this. We must come together and not assume that things will be okay. In fact, they won't be unless we do so.